Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Bad take already out of the gate. Flying to Dallas, not driving to Dallas. Brendan over here is filling in for Blankers. Blankers
flying to Dallas, not getting stuck halfway to Dallas.
I told you, Buck, he says halfway. Not a bad alternative. You can start, what is it, the buffet halfway to Dallas? It's called Sam's. If you're driving to Dallas from Houston, it's on the right side. I forget what exit. Not a bad place to stop either. Bad Take Boulevard. We're welcoming in our favorite bad takes to have good real estate and Bad Take Boulevard. Let's start with the wheelhouse. Let's start with a couple of bad takes from the wheelhouse. Where are you going with the wheelhouse? You got three options that you can go to from the wheelhouse, right, with some bad takes. How about Jake Asman predicting that the Las Vegas Raiders, I thought he said Super Bowl team, he said playoff team, I clarified. But the Raiders to the playoffs, that looks pretty bad after 4 weeks.
Oh, so this is from before the season.
He said it before the season.
I think it's okay. I'm not going to crush him for that. If he said that now.
That's a bad take in hindsight.
Yeah, it is, but that's different. I mean, if we're going to crush everybody for a bad take they had a month ago, this list would never stop.
Well, I mean, that's part of being a Bad Take Boulevard.
We would just have a 3-hour show. You put that on the rundown.
There's worse shows out there than that.
You put it on the rundown. I was of the impression that he said that this recently, and that would be a hot take.
I thought he said they were going to go to the Super Bowl. So that
should also be worse.
That was why it was originally on there, but he said, no, I didn't have him going that far. I had him going to the playoffs. But I just wanted to spread it around the wheelhouse a little bit.
The funny thing is, that division looked super challenging, and I still think it is, but maybe not quite as challenging as we thought.
Broncos don't look good.
And the
Raiders don't look good.
Aren't the team we thought they could have been.
Raiders could still sneak their way.
Sure.
I don't know.
I don't know. They could. I don't think they're going to.
The Raiders are the perfect example of an NFL team that's putting lipstick on a pig. They're putting beautiful lipstick with Devontae Adams on a pig of a quarterback, David Carr's brother.
And Darren Waller's been absent this year, too.
So he was absent last year.
Yeah.
And they gave him all this money.
Yeah.
Like, so, what do you do? He's 30-something.
It's not even like you have two
great
options.
That was a bad contract.
It sure looks like it.
Like, he was gone almost all last year. Like, they paid him on what he was 2 years ago.
He's been on the field. He just hasn't done anything.
Yeah, last year he went on the field. He was mostly hurt. But the real reason I put Jake on there is because I wanted to spread some love around Bad Take Boulevard. One of the other Will Houseman, not BK. BK usually never has bad takes. This one was from Stutes. He made the pitch that Tom Brady could play for Houston?
We got $50 million in cap space. You've played with Brandon Cooks before. Laremy Tunsil's the best left tackle that you would have ever played with. We've got a solid offensive line that we're going to dump some resources in to make sure it's even better. We'll go out there and add one of the best free agent wide receivers. We've got a second-year running back that we feel pretty good about. And everybody lines up to come play with Tom Brady. When he ends up on a new team, we got $50 million in cap space. Oh, by the way, my name's Nick Caserio. You know me. I used to coach wide receivers. I coached wide receivers the year you had the best season ever for a quarterback.
Was he making a pitch to Tom Brady? Or was he saying it's viable?
It sounded to me like he was saying he was viable.
If he actually thinks that that's a real thing, that that's on the table, I can't see it. Because you know what else Tom Brady's always had? Top 10 defense. And then this defense isn't like the problem by any means, but it's not going to be a top 10 defense. And on top of that, he's played with Brandon Cooks before. Brandon Cooks is going to be 30 next year.
He's up there in age. He's not having a good year for Brandon Cooks standards. Some of the pitches there, too, like, oh, Laremy Tunsil. I'm not so sure he's the best left tackle we ever had, but I'm not going to sit here and go through every Patriots left tackle. The offensive line for the Texans has not been good. Like, they've allowed a good amount of pressures. I don't think Tom Brady wants to be sitting behind that offensive line in his mid-40s. Brandon, like, even if you want to throw Brandon Cooks out there, what else?
I don't know if the case is mostly just a money thing. It does seem weird to think, I guess, a weather thing,
I think, too. He would also be going to a team that he feels like he can win at.
Right, that's my thing. Like, if you're making the case for Houston, maybe it's the money and maybe it's the weather. Aside from that, I cannot understand why he would consider Houston.
The money, though, like his money would be going anywhere. He's going to get the same amount of money wherever he wants to go.
Yeah, but they have the free money. You have no state income tax. That does matter to players.
It does. Tyreek Hill would be an example of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're making the case on money and weather, fine. I'm struggling to see Tom Brady going to somewhere for money and weather.
He's not going to want to go somewhere where it's like
he's
a
also already in Tampa
win.
Bay. He already right. has those things.
On top of that, too, like the Texans do have cap space, but they only have like 30-something players under contract next year. So they might have $50 million to spend, but they have like 35, 40 players under contract. So like... They're not going to be able to go out and spend huge money on one specific player. They're going to have to spread it around.
I feel comfortable saying that Tom Brady is off the table.
And also, do you think Nick Caserio would be a selling point? Hey, I'm Nick Caserio. Come play for me.
Tom
Brady. He left Belichick.
To be honest, that was the one thing I thought was interesting. I don't think he's going to be a selling point that makes a difference.
No.
But I think he could be a plus. I think if the Texans were actually in the mix, it could be a plus.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not saying it is. I'm not ruling it out. I have no idea what the real... I think that there's so much history in all of sports of people teaming up with people they've worked with in other areas. We don't know what Tom Brady thinks of Caserio. He might hate him. It could be a negative.
Right.
But it could also be a positive. I wouldn't write that off as a positive.
Based on what we know, though, it's a wash at best.
Sure. I think that's fair. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say at best, but based off of what we know, it is a wash.
Bad take, Tom Brady being the Houston Texan quarterback. If for some miracle it does happen, he's replacing Davis Mills. Colin Cowherd doesn't think that Davis Mills needs to be replaced. He tweeted out on Sunday, "Am I nuts? Davis Mills, with very little fanfare, feels like he's cementing the quarterback job in Houston. Throws a really nice ball, touch and accuracy."
He does not feel like that. I don't even think Davis Mills feels like he's cementing the starting quarterback job.
You don't think Colin feels like that?
I like Colin Cowherd. I
like Colin Cowherd too.
I think that Colin Cowherd looked at numbers and came up with that take. I don't think he's watching Davis Mills play. Why would he? I wouldn't watch Davis Mills play if I was Colin Cowherd. And I don't think the numbers make it look like he's been as bad as he has.
I hear that. I think that Colin saw something on Red Zone Channel. Honestly, I do. Like,
yeah, whenever, I wouldn't rule that out.
I think because he made two really good throws back-to-back in that game.
Yeah, he did.
Threw the go route to Nico Collins, very next play, deep post on the money to Brandon Cooks, and it was like, okay, Davis Mills.
You're right.
Those two throws are great.
That's the week to make the claim if that's all you watched. If you just watch the highlights of any game, mm-hmm. I still don't think you get to that take. Until this week. This is the first week where you make that take after watching Red Zone.
And he also tweeted it at 2:28 of the noon window. So it was right around that time. And think about it. Like, we all watch Red Zone, right? Like, whenever we watch Red Zone, what do we see? We don't see Kyler Murray's 30 throws. We see the two throws that gets him in the red zone right. And then the touchdown that he does throw into the end zone. I think Colin Cowherd is making his assessment on Davis Mills as the franchise quarterback for the Houston Texans based on watching NFL Red Zone.
I think that's a really good take. I actually think you're right. That makes a lot of sense. The timing, as well as like those were really good plays. If that's all you saw, it's reasonable to come away with that.
If you see those two throws,
if you're a Texans fan,
throws a really nice ball, touch and accuracy.
If you're a Texans fan who's not watching Texans game but watching the Red Zone, I could buy you liking Davis Mills after this week.
I could too. I could too. Like, if you watch just the highlights of Davis Mills, you can watch the highlights of any quarterback in the NFL and think that they're the dude.
I don't know about that the first 3 weeks of the season for Davis Mills, but this week, absolutely.
Yeah, he almost needed that fourth game. Here's one from your guy, sticking at the quarterback position. Stu Gotts saying that a player that you love isn't very good.
Matt Stafford, listen, the great quarterbacks, okay, what they do is they make any team good. He was in Detroit with Calvin Johnson. They were never, ever good. It took the right coach, the right situation, the right running game, the right defense, the right time, all of it for Matthew. And even then, Stafford threw the worst pass in the history of postseason play. It should have been picked off by Tampa Bay. The game should have been over. The Rams never win a Super Bowl.
I'm realizing that this segment isn't for me. I love Stu Gotts. And honestly,
I love the way he talks. Okay.
I'm a big Stu Gotts fan. And if 90% of people said this opinion, it would frustrate me. I just think it's funny listening to him because Stu Gotts, you want to talk about someone who doesn't believe anything he says. Stu Gotts is such a character. Like, look, man, I'll be honest. I don't think Stafford's looked great this year. The idea that he didn't have success in Detroit with Calvin Johnson, yeah.
Garbage numbers.
Well, here's the thing. They never had a top half defense until 2013 with Matthew Stafford. In his entire career in Detroit, 12 years, they had a top half running game once. Like, the dude was playing with the worst rosters around him every single year. And I spent 12 years in Detroit arguing about whether or not he could win one playoff game. And the guy leaves and wins the Super Bowl the next year. He had a terrible throw in the playoffs. That is not wrong. You know what else he had? A bunch of incredible throws.
Yeah.
He should have lost the game to Tampa Bay. He's the reason they didn't. But I love Stugatz. I like Stugatz so much.
You sound torn here.
Oh,
you
not,
sound
torn. It's a terrible take, but that Stugatz's thing is bad takes. I don't think Stugatz tries to have good takes. I think Stugatz tries to be funny, and he's good at it.
7761, Terry's coming at Stutz's defense. He said, he says Brady to the Texans is far-fetched, but very possible.
Oh, no, it's not.
Terry, you just landed on Bad Take Boulevard. It's very possible. But why are we considering Lamar Jackson and use our picks on other needs?
I'm just wondering.
Terry just went from a bad take, advocating a bad take, to landing on Bad Take Boulevard, and then finding a way to have a worse take than anything before.
What I would really like to see the Texans do is invest the free money they have in the cap next year in an anti-aging machine that they can use on Peyton Manning and bring
I don't think
him
that
back.
Counts against the cap.
Oh, well, perfect. They use the extra money to create an anti-aging machine, put Peyton Manning on it, and bring him back.
Yeah, very possible. The likelihood of Tom Brady.
Which one's
the
more possible?
I was going to say, I think Brendan's aging machine is more possible.
Oh, the aging machine?
Peyton.
That avocado ice cream, man. That avocado ice cream. You might already have the answer. You might already have the
answer. Tom Brady's invented that machine.
Avocado ice cream and newfound bachelorhood. Is not that anti-aging? Is it not?
It might also be aging.
713-780-ESPN. You ever have some bad takes that you think belong on Bad Take Boulevard? Let us know. 713-780-3776. Dusty Baker, the manager of the best team in the American League, says the Astros are winning, but they're not hot. Does that bother you? Does the time off bother you? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The Astros wrapped up a 106-win season yesterday. One off the franchise record set in 2019. You would think a team that's winning at this pace got a level of hotness, level of momentum. Dusty Baker after the game, though, kind of sang a different tune.
The next couple of weeks. Well, I'm confident. I mean, we're winning. We're not really hot, you know, but we're winning. And we're winning as a unit. And I'm just hoping that, you know, we're getting hot. We're going into the playoffs here. The full moon's in a couple of days, which I believe in, that power. And so I'm confident.
I believe in full moons, too. I'm a big believer in full moons.
I mean, they do exist.
They happen. I see them myself. Full moons happen. I'm a believer, too, Dusty. Dusty and I. Basically two of the same people.
I told you earlier, you should be. You need to be more like each other.
Ocho says the Astros are always winning but not hot. So Dusty's saying,
oh, that's not fair.
They're winning but not hot. Why do you say that?
This year, there were absolutely times in the season where they were definitively hot. There were times in the season where it felt like if the Astros had to play, you knew they were going to win. And obviously, they sometimes lost those games. But, like, you sure didn't feel like it. There were at least two stretches I can remember where it felt like the Astros were winning every single game.
He says their bats are not reliable. Ocho does.
I think that's probably a fair statement, but the bats is not the whole team.
I think the bats just in baseball in general, haven't been reliable this year. We've seen pitching numbers that have been better than years past. I think it's just a product of Major League Baseball with where it's at. I don't disagree with what you said. Like, there's been times when they've been on a tear where they're, you know, scoring and pitching. Like, there's been times whenever,
Yeah, the pitching's been great all year long. They've had some starts lately where it's not up to that standard, but it's been really, really good. Offensively is where you see it the most. Like, they'll go score 10 runs one game, and then the next night, one run, two runs.
Because we're like, whether or not, you know, you're fully locked in to the Astros day in and day out, we're obviously paying attention to what they're doing day in and day out. And something that I remember is the amount of days I came in, and it was like the lead topic of today feels like how good starting pitching was yesterday. And it was like, okay, makes sense. Verlander started. Oh, wait, yeah. The next day, Fromber started. Right. And it was like day after day after day. And there were weeks of stretches like that. So I honestly agree with what Dusty Baker said. Astros are winning games. They're not, you know, they're not struggling necessarily right now, but they're not hot. They're probably, I would say the way they're playing right now is probably slightly below average for how they've been throughout the season.
Really?
I think so. I feel okay about saying that. I'm not saying it's bad. I just think at times they've been more consistent.
I think they've been about who they've been all year. I think that maybe they haven't been clicking on all cylinders in terms of, like, the offense isn't scoring at a high pace that we want every single game.
Okay.
But the Astros have been, what was their record in September? They had tons of wins in September.
Let me rephrase that. It's not necessarily that they themselves are not performing to a level that is appropriate for what they've been all year. The win-loss record absolutely has not been over the last 15 to 20 games something that would pace out to what they've done all season.
You don't think so?
Oh, no way. I in the last 10 games, what are they, 6-4?
What'd they do with the Rays?
And to be fair to them, even if that's the case.
Two or three. They've won back-to-back series.
They've been playing against teams that were fighting for their lives for a large portion of the back end of the season.
They didn't lose a series all month.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't lose a series. They split in the four-game series with Baltimore. Remember, they lost the first two games.
Okay, yeah, it was a four-game series.
But then they came from behind, won the final two games. Let's see, this last series they lost was the home series against Baltimore at the end of August.
I mean, maybe I'm off base, but it doesn't feel to me like they've been as hot as they've been at times in the year. All I'm really saying is there's been stretches in the season where they felt unbeatable, and they don't feel unbeatable right now. And I don't think that's not a criticism. It's not. They were playing against a bunch of teams fighting for their lives the last month, and they haven't been. That's not going to be the scenario when the playoffs start.
No, look, I get that. I just don't feel like the Astros have finished. Like, I don't feel like they're limping to the finish at all.
No. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that. I think there's a big difference between saying that they're not hot and saying they're not limping to the finish.
I think a part of it, too, is you've been playing so many different guys for like the last week, maybe even the month of the season.
Yeah, there's reason for it.
We called it fall training. Like, they've been making sure that they're going to get their players healthy. Jeremy Pena doesn't play for a couple games because he bruises his knee. Jose Altuve doesn't play because he gets hit in the elbow. Like, Dusty Baker has taken them out to make sure he gets to the playoffs healthy, which is absolutely the right call. Dusty should have been the primary goal and focus, was to get your team to the playoffs healthy. And he accomplished that. So credit to Dusty Baker for that. So, like, I don't really disagree with it a whole lot, but I don't feel like the Astros are limping to the finish whatsoever. The question that I would have, though, is that does it bother you that they are not hot, and does the time off bother you heading into the playoffs? Because you don't play for 5 days. For Astros, game one of the playoffs is on Tuesday.
I don't know if I go so far as to say it bothers me. But I don't love it. I don't love the fact that you're already not as hot as you've been at times this year. Because, like, I mean, it's in all sports. We talk about being hot at the right time. Uh-huh. And I would not say that they're hot right now. And you're going to go from already not being hot to a five-day break.
Yeah.
And I tend to think you can fall essentially a tier from where you're playing in a five-day break because of rust. And if you're hot, you know, you might not come out of that 5 days off as hot as you've been. But I still feel pretty good about, you know, feeling like you're on. There's a little bit more nerves about whether or not they'll come out the gates hot in game one.
And game one's critical this season because you're playing a team that just won a series. They won a wild card series, so they have a little bit of momentum there, right? And then you're also probably going to face the other team's ace in game two with the way that the schedule plays out. So, you know, you really need to get that game one victory. There's a lot of emphasis on that game one game. The Astros won 7 of their last 10. I don't really think
so. Do you not agree with his assessment?
I mean, hot I don't think they're clicking on all cylinders. I don't think that they're scoring 10 runs a game and they're pitching shutouts left and right. But yeah, they're playing good baseball. They're playing good baseball. They're not limping into the postseason. Like, are they red hot where they've won 9 of their last 10 games and they're scoring,
but they were,
outscoring opponents 10 to nothing? No, but nobody is.
But what I would say is they were that if you go back 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Like, they were hot, like really hot for a minute. And they came into the back end of the season where they were, you know, they were being smart about how they were managing their lineup. And yeah, on the flip side, they were playing teams who were playing for everything. And so they went from a team that was 9 out of 10. And it felt like in a stretch of being 9 out of 10 mm-hmm. for weeks at a time. And they're not there anymore. And that's okay. No, they're not limping. But I do think that Dusty's assessment of being of playing good baseball but not hot, I think it's fair.
Yeah, I don't really disagree a whole lot there. But it does not bother me. And this Astros team at times has shown the ability to turn it on. Like, they've been able to flip the switch. I always point to the post All-Star break. You play doubleheader against the Yankees, you sweep them. You go to Seattle,
yeah,
you
really
sweep them, and then you lose 3 games to Oakland. You get swept in Oakland. Why? Because the Astros turned it off. They didn't care to be in Oakland, and they laid an egg.
You obviously have the history in the playoffs too, uh-huh. like it when the moments matter. I think it would be insane for any Astros fan to be freaking out about it. I just, when we heard this from Dusty, I kind of went, yeah, I agree with that. And I think what worries me more than the way they're playing, well, the way they're playing right now doesn't worry me. I would not say that.
Right.
What worries me is 5 days off. I don't love that. And I trust in this team to you know, clean it up, figure it out, knock off the rust. But as you pointed out, game one is so important in this five-game yep. series, more than it would typically be because of the way that the rotations are going to match up.
Yep.
And the good thing is, like, thankfully, even if you do lose game one, you feel like you're sending an ace out there every day, but you don't expect to be going against whoever you face's ace in the first or in the first game.
Yeah,
and if you do, it's on short rest.
It would be on three. It'd be on 3 days rest. Whereas they're probably going to pitch game two of a division series. Whoever comes out of it, Seattle or Toronto, which you can take advantage of that, but you have to win that game one. I mean, if you fall behind down oh, if you fall behind 0-1, and whether it's Toronto or it's Seattle throwing their ace in game two. Even if you have, you know, somebody that's capable of being an ace type of starter, whether it's Fromber or Lance McCullers getting that start, not a spot that you want to be in. Fake Tony Stark, 7-3 in the last 10 games, plus in the last two games, your two aces have combined for 20 Ks and 10 innings. That seems hot to me.
I do think the side of Mana is kind of weird to argue, and I don't know that I would have thought this on my own without Dusty saying it first.
Right.
I was more focused on the fact that you're going from a stretch where you haven't played a meaningful game in a really long time. Then you're going to take 5 days off, and then you're instantly going to jump into this absolute do-or-die five-game series. It's just, like, in a perfect world, even though you're not too worried about that specifically, in a perfect world, if you were going to paint a picture for what things look like for the Astros right now, I don't think the way that the last week and this next week look are what you would paint.
I want to tell you why the time off bothers me. On the other side. Also, what's your favorite fast food burger? And Culver's is unveiling a new one. Curious if Brendan over here, who has terrible food takes,
I do not,
would be willing to try. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No Blankers today. Instead, it's Brendan Riley, who we hang out with every day. John Bellner behind the glass, doing all the hard work. You got, I mean, this is basically days off for you.
For me?
Yeah, you get to talk on the microphone. It's much harder to produce a show than it is to talk on a mic. I will forever think that. Don't you think? You've done both.
I don't know. They're different. The one thing I will say, and I mean, I love producing. Being on this side, it doesn't feel like a day off. It does make the week feel shorter.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shorten the week a little bit.
It does not feel like it's Thursday. Because I'm doing two different jobs. I think that's just a general human thing, right? Like, if you go into work and you do the same thing every single day, even if you love what you do, at times it can probably feel like you're doing the same thing every day, a little monotonous.
Uh-huh.
But when you switch it up, I think it can be, you know, it can go by quicker. And that can happen just producing too, right? Like, we can have major news that changes things up, and same thing. I think doing some hosting also does that.
Yeah. Behind the scenes always.
Let's have you produce tomorrow. Perfect.
I'm not capable of doing it.
I solve tomorrow.
Wow.
Your voice, if you're not ready to go tomorrow, we'll just switch sides.
It's going to be hard to do for Memphis.
It's a great idea.
You can make it work.
What'd you say, Bellner?
I said, sounds like a great idea.
You can make it work.
Everybody behind the scenes job is always more difficult than, they say talent. I hate that term. I really do.
I'm talent today.
4488. Astros is a team of veterans. No rush, just rest. We will be okay. Ocho says, I don't think the days off matter much because their bats have been inconsistent. Ocho hates the Astros bats. The rust does worry me. It's unprecedented. We've never seen this before, where you have a wild card series where you have the top two teams that are going to take 5 days off before they play a baseball game. Baseball is very much a repetition sport. It's about seeing live pitching every single day. And I know the Astros are going to have simulated games. They're going to have pitchers throwing pins and probably live, you know, BP. They're going to do all that stuff. It's not the same. Like simulating some live BP versus dudes trying to get you out in a playoff game, not the same.
The thing that we have seen before, and I don't know if the Astros have had to deal with it or not, sometimes if you finish a CS quickly, there can be quite a layoff.
True.
Have the Astros had to deal with that?
I don't think they've ever had 5 days. I'd have to go back and look, but 5 days is a lot.
Yeah, 5 days is a long time. And you were never going to get it from a DS to a CS because they were five-game series. So, like, even if you finish in three,
right,
it's never going to be a dramatic turnaround. But if you finish in four and the other team finishes in seven,
that's 3 days later.
In the CS, you can get a bit of a wait.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever had that long of a rest. So, like, do I think it's going to affect the series at all? I don't, but it is something that I'm paying attention to. Like, what does Jose Altuve look like leading off a game after 5 days of not really seeing somebody who's trying to get him out in a playoff game versus live BP?
I think the one thing that's to be said for that is if you come out and win game one, like we've said, it's important. You're going to have the advantage of, you know, your ace versus probably not their ace.
Yeah, yeah. How it's stacked. Like, if you can guarantee that there's not going to be rust, it's much better to be the team not playing in the wild card series. One, 50-50 chance you're eliminated. Two, you have your bullpen and your pitching staff set up exactly how you want. Whereas if you're Toronto or Seattle, your pitching staff's going to be beat up a little bit, and you're not going to be able to throw your ace until game two of the series.
I know that in football, there's a history of teams who rest before the bye week. If they have the bye in the first round, and if they rest before that, they tend to struggle in their first game. I wonder if we see the teams who get a bye struggle in the ALDS. Like, what is baseball? Not in 1 year, but like historically, what does baseball do? I think they're banking on
disadvantage, right? I mean, if that were to happen, which I really don't think it's going to.
I think they're banking on, and I don't think they're wrong, that at worst it's a wash because you get the rotation lined up properly.
Yeah,
and they get not having to worry about rust.
Look, I'd rather not be playing in the wild card series. Like, one, there's a 50-50 chance you're
right. You get the advantage just alone from not having to play in
a
series.
You have a bye from an entire round.
But beyond that, I think even within the series, it's at worst probably even.
But if I could guarantee myself to win a wild card series, would I rather be winning a wild card series or be waiting in the division series? I still rather be the team waiting.
Really?
Because you get a lineup of pitching. Lining up your pitching is more important than the reps.
So here's a weird argument. I generally speaking agree with you. I think if your rotation is the Astros, I'm not all that committed to that thought.
That's not a bad take.
Because yes, the first game's going to be important because you're going to have Verlander going. But at the end of the day, whoever you pitch in game two, game three, whatever it looks like, I'm going to feel like you have a hell of a pitcher in that game.
Yeah. There's not a huge drop. It's not like you have Justin Verlander and then four Jake over easies. Right, I mean, you have four dudes.
Or even you don't even have one Jake over easy. You're not worried. There's not a single, and maybe I'm off base. I don't think there's a single starter you're going to be throwing out there where you go, yeah, I'm not feeling great about this today.
I don't. I love all four.
Because if you had even one, you know, maybe that changes things a little bit.
Yeah,
but you don't. You don't even have one.
I like that viewpoint. I really do.
It is interesting. I don't think either of us are freaking out about it, but I think you and I are on the same page. We don't love the 5 days rest.
No.
The text line does not seem to agree with us. For the most part, the text line seems to say, give them the rest. I'm not worried about the rest. This is a vet team. And I do get the vet team thing. Like, the Astros are probably more prepared to deal with rust than most teams just because they've been in the playoffs. They've been in these moments. They know how to turn it up when you need them to.
Yeah.
But it's not even a baseball thing. And you mentioned baseball's a sport where it's the routine. It's the day after day. It's all the same. You know, it's a series by series thing. I don't care what the sport is. Rust scares me. That's just a rule of thumb in sports for me.
Yeah. Rust versus the beat-up pitching staff, which is the worst of the two. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Have you ever eaten at Culver's?
You know what? I have not.
You've never had a Culver's?
Never once.
Joe would be so disappointed in you.
It's from there, isn't it?
I believe it's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's not many in Houston, but I think that they're the most underrated fast food cheeseburger in the business. Anyways, they're coming back with their Cutter Burger. They've had this before. Basically, to me, it looks like a cheese curd as the cheese on top of a cheeseburger. So it's like a regular burger, but instead of the cheese that you have on a cheeseburger,
and it's like a patty.
It's just a cheese curd. It's a cheese curd patty.
It is a cheese curd patty. I'm all in.
This looks fantastic.
I have never had it before, and I think I will. I mean, we'll see.
You don't think you will?
No, I think I will. I think I will try this. I mean, we'll see. I'm not going to sit in some crazy line to get it. That's not happening. No fast food burger is worth that, or chicken sandwich. It doesn't matter. I'm not sitting in a crazy line for it. But it looks amazing. I do think it might be one of the most unhealthy fast food items ever created.
I don't know about that. Wasn't there a donut burger? I think there was a donut burger.
Yeah, that's
once,
a thing.
Where they had glazed donuts on the buns. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure there was a donut burger.
I feel like KFC did that. I think KFC did it with chicken.
Yeah, they did the double down thing with the two chicken as the bread, basically.
Oh, I thought they might have done a donut thing, too. I don't know. I still think it's up there. Like, top five. I think this cracks the top five least healthy fast food items list.
It's really unhealthy.
So it's definitely not the exact same, but it reminds me of when I was in college. Wendy's had a burger called the Cheesy Cheddar Burger.
Okay.
And the way that I behaved about Cheesy Cheddar Burgers is probably indicative that I had a problem. And I'm not even kidding. I'm being completely honest with you. I would, like, there's a Wendy's on the way home from my girlfriend at the time's house, on the way home from my house. So I would almost every time I drove by it, get one. And eat it in the car so that nobody knew that I was eating them every time I went over to her house. Like, I was hiding that I was eating these cheesy cheddar burgers. And all it was a regular burger with melted cheddar cheese. It was so good. This is the same thing. But, Jeremy, they fried the cheese.
What's the burgers that are big in Minnesota where they stuff the burger with cheese? It's like the something Louie.
You never heard of that? Island here. I'm the wrong person to ask that question.
I think you would like this. Oh. I think you would like the stuffed cheeseburger. Yeah, it's the Juicy Lucy. The Juicy. What did I say? Louie?
Yeah, you called it a Louie.
It's a Juicy Lucy. Juicy Lucy's are big in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You've never had a Juicy Lucy?
I've never heard of it.
Juicy Lucy's are pretty good. You stuff the cheese inside the meat, and then you cook it.
I love cheese.
Louie.
I love cheese. And so, you know, anytime you're adding cheese to something where cheese makes sense, I'm probably going to like it. You fry the cheese, I think you're taking it to a whole nother level. I mean... Here's going to be the problem. I'm going to get in line. I'm going to order this thing. I'm going to love it. And then I'm going to, like, have this standard set for Culver's that they'll probably never reach again.
Culver's cheeseburger, man, it is really good. I'd be willing to go as far to say that they have the best cheeseburger from a fast food standpoint. Like, not a specialty burger. Because I was going to ask you, what's your favorite fast food burger? Like, for me, it's the Green Hatch Chili Burger or Whataburger. But that's a limited time thing. But if I have to go any fast foods place, just their standard cheeseburger, Culver's is probably at the top of my list.
I have a pretty firm belief that you don't judge a burger based on their basic burger. Like, you judge it based on their specialty burger.
Ah! If I'm going to get a burger, more times than not, I'm getting a standard cheeseburger.
See, I'm not.
You're going something a little bit more extravagant?
I'm ordering their specialty burger. So that's what I'm judging them on. And when you first asked me this question, I don't really know why. The answer I went to was Whopper, and it's because I think the quality of the burger itself, the meat, is pretty high end for a fast food burger. But if you include all the ingredients, I actually think it's also Whataburger, and I think it's the patty melt.
Patty melt's really good.
The patty melt. When I first moved down here, there were two fast food things that killed me that I could not put down. It was the patty melt, and it was anything from Raising Cane's. I mean, anything meaning any number of chicken.
Yeah, they don't really have many options.
Yeah, they don't have a ton of options. But those two things killed me. And it's funny because I got to tell you, I swear by Whataburger as someone who's not from here to all my friends who come and visit. I believe zero of them have been on my side. I think
really?
Every single one of them makes fun of me for standing up for Whataburger.
For the patty melt?
You know what? I don't think I've been able to convince a single one of them to try
the
patty melt.
Because everybody's like you, Jeremy. They come to try Whataburger, and then they try the traditional basic cheeseburger.
I mean, Whataburger's traditional basic cheeseburger is just fine.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's just fine.
But it doesn't live up to the hype that everybody puts it at.
I'm not selling it as fine. I'm selling it as I think the patty melt is one of the better fast food burgers that exists.
Patty melt's, to me, their second best burger. I like the patty melt there a lot, but it's not better than Green Hatch Chili Burger. I love the Green Hatch Chili Burger.
I don't know if I'm allowed to include this, but I also used to really like the barbecue chicken burger, but it's kind of complex to eat.
Is that really a burger?
I know. That's why I said I don't know
that's
if it counts.
That's not even really a burger.
I said I don't know if it counts.
Yeah, that's not a burger. It's not a burger. It's chicken sandwich.
It's burger sub chicken.
You can't call anything with chicken a burger. No, you can't do that.
Well, they just call it a chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
well,
that's what it is.
Do you believe in the Impossible Burger?
No. No.
You're wrong.
No. That is a bean patty on bread.
For the record, I did start that statement off with, I don't know if you can really count this. I was mostly just complaining that the honey barbecue chicken sandwich is kind of hard to eat.
So, patty melt's your favorite?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going with the Green Hatch. What do you got, Builder?
Mine is actually the sweet and spicy bacon burger. So we're all at Whataburger.
See, that's what's crazy about Whataburger. We just went three of our favorite burgers. We're at Whataburger, and none were the same. That's why Whataburger's better than In-N-Out. But if you go In-N-Out cheeseburger versus just Water basic cheeseburger, In-N-Out.
I've had In-N-Out once. I didn't care for it.
713-780-ESPN. What's the best burger? Fast food, because there's some elite burger places, especially in Houston. We're talking fast food burgers. What are the very best? Uncle Barney said the A1 Thick and Hearty Burger, which is also another Whataburger burger. That's four. Different Whataburger burgers.
I think they're elite for the amount of specialty burgers they do well. No, right. No one else even comes close.
You're going to ask one of the Wilhousemen this. I'm going to go catch my flight to Memphis. Thanks to Belner for filling in, doing the hard work today. Brendan and one of the Wilhousemen, I think, are going to talk cheeseburgers. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brendan Riley filling in for Joel Blank. Jeremy had to cut out early on us today. I'm just glad he made it to this point, because I wasn't totally sure either of the last 2 days if he would. But he did. He powered through. He got us there. Brad joining me from the wheelhouse to a little bit of crosstalk to wrap up the Killer Bees today. How's it going?
What happened to the Killer Bees?
I don't know. They're dropping like flies.
Now, I guess we're still the Killer Bees. We've got Brendan and BK.
I got to tell you, it's impressive the consistency with the people who covering us have a beat. You got BK filling in, but, you know, covering the last 15 minutes. We got John Belmer covering me over there. We had BMAC yesterday. At this station, we only hire you if we can find a bee somewhere in your name.
Josh Beard?
Yeah, Josh Beard does some filling. Do either of your guys have a bee in their middle name, maybe?
I don't think so.
That's unfortunate.
I don't know Jake's middle name. I know Cody doesn't.
I don't know either of their middle names, but it does feel like that. So we're going to talk some Texans-ish, and we're going to talk some burgers, but where do you want to start?
Well, I got to ask a question. Has Brandon been making out with Chris Collinsworth or something? What's the deal with that? He sounds terrible.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if a concoction is a fair way to put it. It was pretty simple, but he threw a cough drop in his water today. Have you ever seen that before?
No. Does it melt?
No, it just sits there. I mean, maybe slowly, but he made it sound like it was a normal thing that people do when they're having issues with their throat. But
it's like a Joey Chestnut effect? Like it makes it easier to eat?
I'm not totally sure. Why. It's supposed to help his voice is what he's going for.
It didn't help. You should try the cough drop by itself instead of rinsing it with water. Let's talk burgers, man. I just got off of a 27-hour fast, so I've got food in me. I want to talk about food.
Have you seen this Culver's burger that they're going to have for, I think it's like a week or two?
So I heard y'all talking about this on my way in. I've not seen a picture or anything, but I heard you guys describing what was going on there. And I'm not Joel-level fan of Culver's, but I am a big fan of Culver's, and I hate that. Like, the closest one is, I think, Atascocita, which is, it's worth the drive, right. But, like, you got to drive from where we live to make it out to a Culver's, but it is fantastic.
I've never had it before.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a little bit easier to make the drive because it's not just a regular Culver's. I also get to have this monstrosity.
So, yeah, I've never had that before. I've never seen that before.
It almost looks like a McChicken was placed. Like, that's a...
Dude, I've made one of those.
That's what
before.
It looks like. It looks like someone placed a McChicken on top of a burger.
Yeah, it's like a McDonald's hack, right? Like you get a cheeseburger and you get a McChicken and you combine it to make one sandwich. Like
but it's a cheese curd.
Yeah, like I.
So you're in on it.
I'm in on it, but like I don't think I'm going to like it more than a regular cheeseburger.
Really?
Like I like cheese curds, but like I don't like them as much as I like a cheeseburger, you know?
This is a really weird take, and it's just going to sound weird, and there's nothing I can do about it. I prefer liquid cheese.
Okay. Talking like government cheese, like yes, the nachos you yes get at the ballpark?
Yes, melted cheese, however we get there. Melted cheese, fried cheese, which I know like fried cheese isn't technically liquid, but once you bite into it, that thing is absolutely going to be a mess, right?
Oh, yeah. That's like three or four napkins at least.
The bigger the mess the cheese makes, the better it is. Okay. That is my stance.
What else is on there? Is it just all the normal burger toppings? Except instead of cheese, you've got a fried circular cheese curd patty thing?
This page doesn't tell me, but it looks like tomatoes, pickles, lettuce, and mayo maybe.
Okay, so you get your vegetables, so it's healthy. I feel like cheese is also healthy, right? That's one of the dairy groups.
So we did this off air. I'm of the belief that cheese curds are probably like a top five most unhealthy item that people actually eat. Like, I don't want you going out of your way to create something crazy.
Yeah.
Like, items that people actually eat, cheese curds or mozzarella sticks, like, kind of interchangeable.
Okay.
I think they're, like, fried cheese is up there. Well, donuts was another one we came up with.
When's the last time you've had a cheese curd? Like, is that something you regularly eat?
No, but I eat mozzarella sticks, okay, which is the same thing.
I guess that's close enough. Yeah. Mozzarella sticks.
I did have the mac and cheese, the fried mac and cheese recently, which I think is very similar to a cheese curd.
Would you go to Pluckers?
Yeah.
Oh, you had the Holy Mac?
Like last week, I think.
Is that the first time you've ever had it?
No.
Okay.
No, every time I go with Jake, we have to get it.
Dude, that is...
Jake will not let you go there without getting it.
I shouldn't say that after Yom Kippur and all the atoning I just did, but I would convert to a religion that idolizes the Holy Macaroni at Pluckers. Like, if there's one out there that, like, I can worship the Holy Mac, I'm switching. I'm switching sides.
Is it a hot take to say that fried mozzarella is better?
No, because fried mozzarella is awesome. I mean, I'd go with the Holy Mac, but, like, their fried mozzarella at Pluck Nation's very good, and just cheese sticks in general are fantastic.
I am a little surprised at your lack of excitement for the, like, I gotta be honest. I know what, like, we saved this topic. We were gonna do it yesterday in Crosstalk, but we had Jake. No offense to Jake.
Yeah. You don't want to talk food with him.
This felt like a topic for you or Cody. Uh-huh. I didn't really care which one. I thought both of you guys would be great for it, but I expected a little bit more excitement.
You know, I'm like, I'm willing to try new things at fast food restaurants, but man, if there's something I really like and I get something new, I'm mad at myself for not getting the thing that I really like.
So I'm not that way with fast food, but I am if I like go and sit down at a restaurant.
Okay.
If I really like something, yeah, it's risky.
Like the latest example for me, the Wingstop chicken sandwich. Like I refuse to try that. I'm sure it's good. They sold out, which might have been a marketing bit. Who knows if they actually sold a ton, but like, yeah, like I'm a huge fan of chicken sandwiches. I've tried most of the chicken sandwiches, but I can't fill my stomach with non-wings at the Wingstop.
That's so general rule of thumb for me. I said this recently when I went to Pluckers. I won't go to a wing place and get anything else. Like,
yeah.
Ever.
I feel the same way.
So I think we're mostly on the same page. Maybe it's different because like I haven't had Culver's before, but with fast food, I'm much more willing to just like try whatever the new crazy thing is, and I will absolutely be trying this.
Well, you've heard about my dinner one and dinner two, right? How I eat two dinners a night. So like it might be one of those things where I get that for dinner
one. Is that real?
But I order.
I don't know why I'm asking you. You're not going to tell me if it's not.
It is real. I would tell you if it's not. I wouldn't have brought it up if it was not real. I eat two dinners a night. You think there's a way to only eat one? How do people only eat one dinner? It's like you have one TV in your living room. How do you do that?
BK, look at me.
Stuff.
Obviously, I don't think there's a way to only eat one. But I look at you and I don't see that. So.
Metabolism is a beautiful thing. Before I leave here, I'm going to be fat as hell, dude. I'm going to be the biggest person who works here before I walk out. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, dude. I'm telling you. Like one of these days, because I don't work out nearly enough. I eat a ton and I eat so much fast food. Like there's just no way I don't balloon at some point.
So I ballooned when I came down to Texas, by the way.
There you go.
I was bigger when I moved down here, but I was at like the lowest weight of my life when I moved down here.
So maybe if I moved to Detroit,
might help you out a little bit.
Is that how it works?
So I was looking, you know, I don't know where you are on the whole embrace the suck mantra, but I was looking at the challenges the Texans have for a top pick this year, and I believe pretty firmly that the bottom tier of the NFL is tiny this year. For me, it's only two teams. I think there are a couple teams that flirt with it, but for me, it's the Texans and the Bears.
Mm.
Now, I think the Panthers absolutely enter the discussion. There's one other team we talked about that's escaping my mind
Atlanta.
Right now. I don't really think they do. Not for me.
Okay.
I don't think New Orleans does.
Washington?
I don't think the Raiders. Washington.
Okay.
Washington is the other one that I think flirts with it. And the reality is, like, I think the Bears already have two wins.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about them. I do think you have to worry about Washington a little bit. We talked about the Colts as like a dark horse team, but like who are the actual candidates to fight the Texans for a top pick?
I mean, I think you're right. I think Houston and Carolina are the two worst teams right now.
Oh, I said the Bears.
Oh, excuse me. The Bears too.
They don't throw the football.
They look like, it's hard for me to say they're well coached because they're setting football back 50 years with the offense they're running, but like, they look pretty disciplined.
Vince Lombardi would love this Bears
team. Oh my gosh. Like, compared to what they were last year, they look so much better, so much more prepared. But yeah, it's tough to me to think that team that doesn't throw the football is going to win more than like 4 or 5 games. So I don't know. You know, Carolina, like, if they fire Matt Rhule, there could be some sort of dead cat bounce with them. Baker Mayfield's got to play better. If he plays like this, they're going to be right there with the Texans at the bottom of the league.
You know, and I won't pretend I've watched a ton of the Panthers. I've watched more of some of these other teams who we didn't necessarily expect to be this bad, right? Like, I don't buy that the Raiders are this bad.
No,
I don't
either.
Buy that the Steelers are going to compete for a top pick. Although, the quarterback situation is certainly a question mark. I think the rest of the team is too good. But with the Panthers, I just look at the weapons around Baker Mayfield, and like, I don't feel like he needs to be very good for them to find a way to 4 wins.
No, I mean, they've got more talent than the Texans do, top to bottom on that roster. They really do. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's better than anyone the Texans have. DJ Moore's one of the most underrated players in the league. I think their defense is better, too. So, there's reason to think that you can make an argument for just about every team. I don't know if you can for the Texans, but like, just about every team that they're going to maybe find a way to like 5 or 6 wins. I don't know how you do that with what you've seen from the Texans through a month.
I don't know that I'm willing to go here, even though I'm the one who you know, brought the original thought to the table. But Jeremy found himself questioning if the Texans are basically locked into a top 3 pick, which is a wild thing to ask in week 4 heading into week 5. But I don't think it's crazy.
Nah, I mean, look, I don't think they are.
I think they are locked in top 5.
Look, they're the only winless team in the NFL, so like, any argument against that sounds pretty stupid right now. But like, they've been close. There's reason to believe that they could sneak a couple of wins out there. Top 5 is probably locked in at this point.
They've been close, but we're talking about a bad team in the Colts.
Yeah.
We're talking about a team that I think is in the bottom tier in the Bears.
Yep.
The Broncos are, you know, a level above that, but they're not good.
I wonder what, I don't know if you can get Vegas odds for this right now, but what the Vegas odds would be for the Texans to have a top 3 or a top 5 pick. Like, my guess is it's minus. My guess it's like you'd have to be giving Vegas money to make that bet.
Certainly top 5.
Yeah, I'd say almost top 3 at this point, too. Just with what this team was last year, the fact that they've got a goose egg in the win column right now and nobody else does, like, I think the Vegas favorite would be this team's picking in the top 3 at minimum.
What do you guys got coming up today?
We're going to talk about this Colts-Broncos game a little bit. I think the Colts are a team that the Texans need to be rooting for.
Kind of ugly Thursday night, if you ask
me. Yeah, it kind of is, too. It's a mess. We'll talk about the Astros, too, to open up the show. What preseason questions got answered during the regular season and what is still up for interpretation? So plenty of Astros, plenty of Texans. Lee Sterling, 445, to make you some money, too.
That's going to do it for us here. This has been the Killer Bees. Brendan Riley in for Joel Blank. It's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.